That's that groovy Afro-pop music is from the nation of Cameroon, and we're joined in studio by Mary McCarthy, a correspondent in Denver for the news agency Feature Story News. She covers news from Denver and the region for the international TV and radio networks, and she's back home from Cameroon in Central Africa, courtesy of the State Department and World Denver. You spent a week training local journalists in how to cover elections, Mary, a completely different context for you. What was surprising about journalism in Central Africa?
Well, Steve, it's one thing when you, as a journalist, are working in a democracy. You and I, we do that every day when we're talking about things like politics. You get out and you talk about both sides of the story. You get as much information as possible, and you really bring that to the public, to your listeners. And when you're working in a repressive regime like you have in Cameroon, it's technically describes itself as a democracy, but that's not the case. It's a a multi-party system that, in fact, is run by one party with the same guy, Paul Biya, who's been in power for over 30 years. You can't really do the job of being a journalist. It's completely different. Access to information is extremely limited. There's really an abundance of media outlets. It looks like sort of a healthy press media situation. But the fact is, there's a lot of vested interests. As a journalist, much of what you're writing or broadcasting is influenced either by the government or by corporations. So it wasn't the same as going and speaking to American journalists and saying, follow these basic tenets of journalistic ethics. But you've really got to consider what a difficult situation they're working in.
Denver-based journalist Mary McCarthy, just back from Cameroon. It looked like a free and vigorous press, but everybody's got an agenda. Do people kind of know what the agendas are? I mean, there's a strong man, and so the government seems pretty secure. They're not threatened by journalism.
Right. I guess what was really surprising to me was to see that the journalists were really willing to talk about that. The fact that, on the very first day of class, I sort of hesitated to say, what are the challenges you're facing? And they said, the challenges we're facing are the media is corrupt, just like a lot of institutions are corrupt in a country like Cameroon. And I don't want to put a negative spin on the country. It's a fabulous place with a lot of, fantastic natural resources, incredible people, a very high level of education, one of the highest literacy rates in all of Africa, but deep, deep corruption. And part of that is within the media. Just to give an example, many of the journalists, actually all of the journalists I met, said that on a daily basis, they are either getting threats from various sources or else receiving bribes. So I think you and I don't know, you can tell me your experience, but in my career as a journalist, for 10 years or so, I haven't ever received any physical threats, and I certainly haven't received any envelopes of cash pressuring me to say one thing or another.
We have an envelope here for you this morning, Mary. No.
I wouldn't mind that, but well, I know you wouldn't pressure me to say one thing or another.
But that's
the envelope where you make your pledge.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Carlos.
Different kind of envelope.
Exactly. And that's standard. That's commonplace for those journalists to deal with.
Absolutely.
Threats and bribes. Wow. We have to really get our heads around that.
Exactly. So a difficult context to teach in, and certainly, and much more so, a difficult context to work in. They make very little money. And what I really took away from the experience was that these young journalists are still trying to do what we want to do, which is, do the work of journalists, of what we consider the Western tradition. And despite making, sort of really precarious, minimal salaries, despite working in this difficult context, they're still trying to do that. And that, takes a lot of courage, and I really admire it.
Yeah. You were training them ahead of a vote that was supposed to take place at the end of September. Checking back on the coverage, how did it look?
In the end, the results were actually announced about 3 weeks later, so they just came out a few days ago. And of course, the ruling party, won the majority in parliament as expected. That's the ruling party is the Rassemblement Démocratique du Peuple Camerounais. I thought you'd like to hear a little bit of French on air.
You were training in French.
I was training them in French, and that's why I got to go, because I speak French, and it's a largely French-speaking country. So I did look at the coverage online, and as could be predicted, very little of it was critical of those official results. It was sort of in, it's really surprising as a Western reader to read the newspapers, because they're very basically coming out praising the ruling party and the government overall. So again, a type of media context that to us is quite shocking and just completely foreign.
Interesting challenges in Central Africa, where they're balancing what might be stable and safe government. They haven't had a coup in a while. He's 30 years in as president, and trying to get some of the press freedoms going. It seems like
that's sort of the paradox of Cameroon. They've had political stability, which is very rare in Africa. So that's a positive thing, and that's allowed them to develop and become a bit wealthier than some other countries. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of that really is that they're lacking democracy, and that you know, the people are living in that tough context.
Mary McCarthy, who's based in Denver for Feature Story News, reporting in French and English on Denver issues to the rest of the world. So a lot of the world seeing Denver through your eyes. Thanks for your reporting there.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I've got a question, you know, something that you just mentioned. Stable government, 30 years the man's been in power?
That's right.
30 years. So how has the technology and the influx of social media into the society, how's that changed the people in Cameroon? I assume they have access to internet and all that.
They do have access to internet, and you get the sense that things are changing because the president, Paul Biya, is over 80 years old. I'm not sure if they know exactly how old he is. Mm-hmm. So the fact is, a change is going to have to come, whether it's before he passes away or when he passes away. Social media, I think, will play a role in that. I was surprised speaking to the journalists again, who are all very educated, very much on top of things, very much on top of sort of internet media in terms of getting things onto websites. They weren't really into social media yet. They all know Facebook, but they don't know Twitter. And I really encourage them to put their work out on social media because it's a way of getting it out mm-hmm. into the world and staying in connection with the rest of the world. And so I think that revolution, like we heard about social media influencing a lot the events, say in Northern Africa with the mm-hmm. Arab Spring, I think that hasn't really happened, that social media revolution in Central Africa, not yet.
Okay. Mary McCarthy comes to us from Feature Story News, just got back from Cameroon, training journalists there. We began with some great Afropop music from a guy named Ekambi Brilliant. And
Brilliant, right.
Thank you, Messi. And we've got some more, a bit more traditional music as well to introduce on our way out.
That's right. We're gonna leave this with this section with Les Têtes Brûlées, the burned heads, and that's one of the most popular Cameroonian groups, both in the country and abroad.
Mary McCarthy, we follow her on Twitter and Facebook, Feature Story News. Thanks for covering for me coming up on Friday.
No problem. Looking forward to it.